Welcome to the ProWrestling.net podcast for Monday, June 1st, 2015. I'm Jason Powell, and it's my pleasure to be joined by Global Force Wrestling promoter Jeff Jarrett. He is here to promote the upcoming Grand Slam Tour. Jeff, we've been hearing about Global Force Wrestling since, boy, Oscar night last year, I believe, was when you first started making sense, and probably a little before that even. But it is finally going to become a reality beginning June 12th in Jackson, Tennessee, June 13th in Knoxville, Tennessee, and then all throughout the summer. Tell me about the Grand Slam Tour.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. It's been a while. I think, when's the last time we spoke? Going into Wrestle Kingdom 9?
Yeah, late last year.
Yeah, that's right. So I appreciate you having me on, and yes, it was the day after WrestleMania 2014 when we literally just named the company, and I'd already started putting the pieces together and forming the alliances and reaching out to people and just sort of getting a game plan. And you know, with this day and age, it's difficult. There's a lot of not just in wrestling. I'm talking about it in all of entertainment, really all of sport or entertainment. You know, when me and you were growing up, there was four sports: football, basketball, baseball, and hockey. And now
right. There's
soccer and extreme games. And so it's, you know, I made it a point that I knew that I needed to do things strategically, methodically, and really create brand awareness. So, yes, here we are 13, 14 months later, and I couldn't be happier than to, be, you know, be kicking off Global Force Wrestling's very first event in my home state. You know, it's a grassroots initiative. All eyes are pointed toward Las Vegas for the summer. But, yes, the Grand Slam Tour kicks off, as you said, June 12th in Jackson, Tennessee, and we're very excited.
Now, did you purposely go with Tennessee? The first TNA event, I think most people forget, wasn't actually in Tennessee, even though you did so much work there. So, I mean, was this kind of a goal, as you say, to kick it off in your home state?
But it really wasn't a goal. It just things fell into place. You know, minor league baseball, there's 160 teams, you know, from coast to coast, lots of teams out there. But ironically enough, as we were putting the pieces together, it did make sense. Jackson, Tennessee and Knoxville are just, you know, 2 hours to the west of my home and a little over 2.5 hours to the east of my home is Knoxville. So things fell into place. It did make sense. So to quote unquote, to do them in my backyard. But you know, we're just starting here. We're going to be in Richmond and Harrisburg, and we announced a Texas swing not too far back a couple of weeks ago. We're going out west, and so it's just the beginning, though.
Now let me get the selfish question out of the way. I don't see Minnesota on this tour list. What's going on?
Well, we're getting close. We're up in Appleton, Wisconsin, on July 9th. So that's a neighbor of you. But no, you know what? It's funny that, you know, when we started this, it's the minor league baseball GMs and marketing folks and even their owners, it's a fraternity. And one thing led to another, and once we sort of got the ball rolling with three or four teams, then everything just branched out. And I'm going to throw the ball back in your court. Your folks up there had to reach out, although they may be. But, you know, right now the dates are it's pretty safe to say I don't think we're going to be adding too many more, maybe a couple more, maybe two more in August, but that's to be determined. But the schedule's full. We got our work cut out for us, and as I said, it's a real grassroots approach to creating awareness for the brand, putting on the shows, and as my attorney likes to tell me over and over and over, it's a marathon, not a sprint, so take it day by day.
And because of, you know, Global Force is new to the marketplace, how are ticket sales? I mean, are people receptive to this so far?
They are. And you got to know, and you know this, that independent wrestling, I'll be careful in how I phrase that. You know, WWE is a 40, 50-year brand, and so as soon as tickets go on sale for WWE, the people absolutely know I'm buying a ticket for a WWE event. And you can say that for other promotions, but WWE, obviously, you know, the leader in the market space, a new brand, an independent wrestling brand, you know, the day of walk up is much stronger than a WWE. And I've that's just not wrestling. That's in the music business or minor league baseball or other things like that. So, yes, I'm very happy thus far. What I'm really happy about is our GFW street team. We got that going about 2 weeks ago, and they're getting into the markets, and it's, you can call it old school promoting, or you can call it grassroots or guerrilla marketing. But getting into really, really the meat of these communities and postering and flyering and handbills and just creating awareness and going door to door and talking about the event. And that's stuff that, you know, I literally cut my teeth on when I was 14, 15 years old. And still today, that kind of stuff you have to do to create awareness because although me and you, Jason, and probably I'd say 90% or more of the listeners or the people that are listening to this broadcast, we sort of live it day to day, know the ins and outs, know about AAA, know about New Japan, know about these independent promotions, you know, around the world. But I call it the casual wrestling fan that may watch Raw 1 week and the next week they may catch a little Ring of Honor and the next week maybe a little Lucha Underground. They don't live it, breathe it, sleep it like we do. And so it's very important for us to create that awareness on a real street level.
Now, and I'm looking at the lineup here for just the first show even, and it's loaded as far as name talent is concerned. Bullet Club with Doc Gallows and Carl Anderson, Sanjay Dutt, George T. Murdoch, who people may know better as Brodus Clay, or Tyrus, I believe is the name in TNA, Moose from Ring of Honor, Chris Masters, a.k.a. Chris Mordetsky, Lady Tapa, Tia Trinidad. So you've managed to assemble a roster of known names, and then you're also mixing in some lesser known names. How has that process been for you? Are you surprised at the number of talent you've been able to acquire, given that there's so many wrestling companies out there now that have exclusive contracts?
Well, I'm very happy, very, very happy. And, you know, at Global Force, we've got a philosophy, again, going back, creating brand awareness. The legend that we have on this show is probably the most well-known name in Jackson, Tennessee, and that's Jim Cornette. And that's
right.
Just because he's been around so long, and that's, you know, that's the real fact of the matter is. But obviously Jim's in-ring days or managerial days are behind him, but, you know, he's out as a GFW legend, just like Hacksaw Jim Duggan was a couple of weeks ago in Texas, out talking about the brand and talking about how the product's going to be presented. And it's going to be a very highly athletic, hard-hitting, engaging type of wrestling, and we're going to be very, very social with it, with, you know, interactivity and engaging. And to go back to the street team today, they're headed down to Jackson, Mississippi, and they're going to be at the ball game tonight talking to the baseball fans, and they're going to have prize packs and inviting wrestling fans out. So to go back to answer your question, I'm very happy with the talent that we are assembling on these cards. And you know as well as I do, we've both been around this a while. The guys that we'll call them the lesser names, I don't want to call them no names because that's not accurate at all. I corrected a reporter, by the way, that I said they're not no names. They're just lesser names. Those are the guys that this time next year, when I'm doing your podcast, that we're going to be talking about, in my opinion. And that's sort of a real gratifying type situation that I'm excited to give these guys that kind of opportunity to really get up on a big stage.
How were you able to get both Moose and George Murdoch, considering their ties to other promotions?
Well, you know, we're not shooting TV is the short answer.
Sure.
It's the real short answer is that those guys, and that's my, you know, I'm trying to step by step, you know, I don't want to say change, but really have a collaborative effort, whether it's Ring of Honor, whether it's TNA, whether it's Lucha Underground, AAA, New Japan, and that I truly believe WWE, you know, not only are they the leader in the marketplace, they have the ability to keep guys under a real exclusivity, and they've got a right to, and it makes sense. You know, but then you put it on the flip side, all the other promotions, you know, we're all fighting for market share. Not saying that we got to, you know, marry one another and get contractually bound. I'm saying just have a real loose working agreement that I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back, and I think it's healthy for the industry. That's my point in that, you know, and I know we're supposed to be talking about the Grand Slam, but, you know, the big news last week, Ring of Honor coming on Destination America, and I saw several tweets from talent that guess who the winner is, the wrestling fan. And that is without question who the winner is because the more industry, the more companies, the more promotions that can thrive and be healthy, the better for the business. And the better for the business, the better for the wrestling fan.
And I definitely want to get to TNA and Ring of Honor in a second here, but I want to remind people it's the Global Force Wrestling Grand Slam Tour. Ticket information available at globalforcewrestling.com. And check the schedule. There's a good chance it's coming to an area within driving distance of wherever you are if you're stateside. You mentioned some of the lesser-known talent. Give me a couple of names to keep an eye on, just guys that maybe haven't that the average fan isn't going to be aware of unless they happen to be in the area where they wrestle independently that have jumped out at you. I mean, you've done a lot of scouting trips and things of that nature, and it sounds like you've really gotten out there to try to get a firsthand look at a lot of these guys.
The New Heavenly Bodies, Chuck Taylor, the two names that just jump off the page at me, and they're just incredible talent. I could go on and on. I mean, we could go down a list of guys, and it's like Trent Beretta. Is he a brand new talent? Absolutely not. But he hasn't been on a stage in a while, and he's a phenomenal talent. I'll go back to Chuck Taylor. Chuck Taylor is a guy on the rise. If you hadn't seen him, come see him because he's a guy that quite frankly can just get it done. Olivencia. That guy has, he just hadn't had the opportunity in OVW for several years. The talent that we're bringing on, I'll go back to the term muster names. These are the guys that really want to compete. And when I say that, Jim Duggan said it the other night, very, very, very eloquently. You know, everybody says, we all understand what professional wrestling is, and it's a business, and it goes without saying. We're not true sport. But do we compete? We absolutely compete. Jim said it best. What do we compete for? We compete for money. And that means the top spot. That means, selling the most merchandise. That means competing for the most bookings. And so the competition of those guys who hadn't quite tasted that opportunity, they're the real hungry weights, as my dad used to say. They're the guys that are going to go that extra mile, that don't mind doing the PR, that don't mind just really getting in there and going the extra mile. And they're the ones that really have something to prove, and they compete to do that.
Just looking at the roster here as well, I mean, I want to mention some other names just for people who are too lazy. Sanjay Dutt, PJ Black, who worked in WWE, of course. The Young Bucks are on the roster, not on this first wave of shows. The Hot Shots, a team that fans of TNA will remember that haven't been around for a while. Jigsaw as well. Have you run into any pushback? You don't have to mention a rival promotion or anything like that if you don't want to by name, but in terms of talent being booked for your shows where you've heard that, okay, so-and-so's having issues with the company that he works more dates for, anything like that, or have the Ring of Honors, TNAs of the world, have they been open to just letting their non-contracted, non-full-time talent go ahead and work these shows just to get the dates?
Am I going to stand up and say absolutely? No, I don't have proof of it. It goes without saying, as promotions, we're all competing on some level one way or another. So, of course, and I'm sure there's individuals in each company, as well as other companies out there, that some are for it and some are against it. And that's just the nature of the beast, the nature of promotion, that's the nature of human psychology. But that's been around forever, and not just in wrestling, in any type of business. So sure, not everybody will ever be one big happy family, and I'm not delusional enough to think that. But you know what? Proof will be in the pudding, step by step. If we all put our mind in the right place and say we want to do what's best for the industry, we want to do what's best, obviously, for your company, and take, without great risk, there's no great reward. So I'm not saying take a big risk. I'm saying let's walk into this, and we don't have to run into this, and see where it gets us. Because awareness, again, we shouldn't be battling one another, and we certainly shouldn't try to be outdoing what WWE does. They do sports entertainment. They do it better than anybody in the world. Mr. McMahon has zero peers in what he does and how he promotes the market. But us, as other promotions in this industry, we should really put our mind to creating awareness for professional wrestling.
Now, fast forward 2 years. Let's say everything goes great. Global Force Wrestling has a television home. You guys are just kicking ass. Do you let your guys work for rival promotions. Again, if it's not television, I mean, there's just a big difference there. If you're not running as many dates and there's an open slot there, are you going to have a problem with letting your guys go ahead and work for someone, you know, someone else's live event that may be considered a quote-unquote rival?
Absolutely, I want them to. It creates awareness for my brand.
Right.
It you know, A, I'd be a hypocrite, but that goes without saying. I mean, but B, and it's the very top, it's the foundation of the philosophy. And this is not revolutionary. It's happened for 50 years in this business, and specifically, you know, in the 90s and maybe probably before that. I'm not the greatest historian of Japanese wrestling. It's gone over there for years. Guys would go from one promotion to another and the big shows. Absolutely. It creates, A, awareness for Global Force Wrestling, and B, it's helpful for the industry, and C, the talent, it gives them an opportunity to take their name, their brand, and branch out, make a few extra bucks. That goes without saying, but I just think it's very healthy for the industry.
And I'm looking here. I haven't seen all of the lineups, but I don't see Jeff Jarrett advertised for these upcoming shows, the first wave. Are you going to be getting in the ring this summer?
You don't see me advertised. Yes, you do see me advertised. You don't need advertise me. I've been every show. No, not to wrestle, though. My in-ring days, are they over? No. But they, sir, have come to a screeching halt. And no, I'm not going to be a part of the quote-unquote active Global Force Wrestling roster. I want to promote. I want to there's a lot more important things in my professional career as opposed to lacing up the boots and having a wrestling match. Obviously, it's my first love. It's what I've done for 29 years. I'm not going to say I'm going on some retirement tour, but no, I'm not going to be actively wrestling because I really want to focus on discovering talent, promoting talent, producing talent, getting them to really, and when I say compete, I mean that in a very healthy way, that they want to become, I want to motivate these guys to become the very best professional wrestler they can. And there's a lot more that goes into that other than bell to bell. Obviously, that's the most important, but there's a lot more that goes into that.
When you're out scouting talent, what are you looking for?
Passion above anything. If you don't really love this business, you're never really going to have longevity in it. You've really got to have a passion for, you know, when I got in, you had to watch live wrestling, and there were some tape trading days. Nowadays, with the WWE Network, with YouTube, you can watch wrestling from all over the globe dating back 40, 50 years. And so you got to be a student of the game, and then you also have to carry yourself you don't have to be in a suit and tie, but you got to, and I don't want to say look the part, you got to be the part. So you got to be in shape. I'm not saying chiseled bodies. I think those days are long gone, although you've got to be fit. You've got to be an athlete. And that's right up to the top of the list. And then I think you have to have your mindset that, you know, do you want to make a living or do you want to make a grand living? And there's a difference there. Do you want to just get by? Because if you just want to get by, I'm not sure that you have the passion to really become a great professional wrestler.
Now, what is the goal behind some of the working agreements with some of the smaller independents around the world, really? I totally get New Japan and AAA, but what are you hoping to get out of the partnerships with some of the smaller promotions that some of us in the States had never even heard of until you announced them on Global Force Wrestling?
Again, this is a really marathon, not a sprint. I'll go back to that. But as Global Force gets up and running, Global Force tag title match on an independent show in Birmingham, England, will have some equity in it. Today, no. This time next year, a little more. In the following years, yes. So you know, and there's, as you've seen the roster page, you know, not everybody's going to get to be on every show, and I think that is a fundamental difference that we've had. Are we going to have a core? Absolutely. But I think the business has can be very healthy and has been very healthy in the past when you have not the same matches week after week after week after week with the same roster. I believe nowadays, like I said, with the ability to go on YouTube and watch such a wide variety, I think your promotion has to have that as well.
Now, you touched on TNA, Destination America, Ring of Honor earlier. When word came out, or just that TNA was on Destination America's canceled list, did you view that as a potential positive for Global Force, never mind the fact that you still have ownership in TNA? Or was this kind of a negative to you in a sense that it creates a bad stigma for pro wrestling within the television industry?
Yeah, and you know, I have no idea what the real actual facts are, but it goes without saying. It would be very bad for this industry for that to happen. You know, there was zero positivity as it relates to Global Force Wrestling. If that is the case, TNA gets canceled. Zero.
Now, there were rumors, at least, that you spoke with Destination America, not necessarily to take TNA spot or anything like that, but just had conversations with them. Is that something you care to comment on?
No. I mean, and I can tell you this, that I have a healthy relationship with many, many, many networks in the television industry. And those should be kept confidential, not so much from a Global Force Wrestling perspective, because we're in the promotion game and, you know, you can chatter this and chatter that and all that, but I protect the relationships that I have within the industry, not just a Discovery group and not just a Viacom group or not just whatever network you want to say. It's to protect those relationships because they're in the TV industry and the wrestling industry, and there is a distinct difference.
Well, where do things stand with Global Force Wrestling and television? I mean, obviously you have the upcoming television taping. July 24th is the first one at the Orleans in Las Vegas. Are you shooting these with a specific network in mind or not so much?
Stay tuned. It's very exciting, and you know, we're going to stand behind Global, so there's definitely an international component that is factoring into this. Again, it's about awareness. From April 7th of 2014 and every day thereafter, my goal was to create awareness because I believe I had a chance for quite some time to take a step back and really look at the industry from a 30,000 viewpoint. And awareness is, to me, the biggest hurdle that all of us have to climb if you're not under the WWE umbrella, because WWE isn't really just the Coke of they're much bigger. There's not a Pepsi. It's Coke and others. And so that creating that awareness is at the very top of my list. So the distribution possibilities excite me. And I'll go back to awareness is the biggest concern, if you want to call it that. That wherever the multiple places we land, I want every wrestling fan to have access to it.
Could you just do me one favor? If everything stays as is, could you not make the Global Force Wrestling Show a Wednesday night show? I think 5 hours is enough.
Well, for you guys that got it before, that is quite the amount of the climb. So, yeah, you know what, Jason? I may take you up on that, but I might not. Stay tuned.
All right. Jim Ross indicated in an interview that you were shooting, the plan is to shoot 13 weeks of one-hour television shows with a two-hour finale at the end. Is that an accurate assessment of what you have in mind for the tapings?
That has been discussed. That is not finalized. I'll be very candid with you. That obviously has been discussed on multiple levels with multiple networks. Is it finalized? No. There are, you know, you can look at it multiple ways. You can shoot, you know, three Friday night specials. You can shoot, you can pull out of each taping, you can take a two-hour spec. You can take 3 hours of wrestling and make two-hour shows. There's multiple ways from a programming model that we're looking at, because remember, it's not just a U.S. Situation that I'm looking at. I'm looking at an entire, pardon the pun, global situation, an international as well as a domestic situation. So there's a lot of factors going in.
And as you talk with various people in the television industry, are you finding that it's kind of the new norm to have these 13, 26-week deals rather than a, you know, 2-3-year commitment?
Not just as it relates to professional wrestling. All of television. Cable television is in a real crossroads, in my opinion. And I think, you know, people within the industry would agree with that. So, you know, the wrestling has always been an anomaly. No pro, I mean, the news goes 52 weeks a year, and a talk show doesn't even go 50, you know, Leno or Letterman, and now it's Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel, and the, you know, they don't do 52 weeks a year. So you know, they take off weeks and they'll take off nights and run reruns. So wrestling has always been the sort of that odd situation. What they're always used to doing is a premiere and a finale and cliffhangers going into the holiday season. That's how the television industry has always worked. So maybe not only is the wrestling business from a programming point of view changing, but the overall method of, you know, Netflix, a complete game changer to the television world, completely. And then it goes without saying, YouTube and Amazon and all these others, they're creating original content. And so, you know, there is, 10 years ago, it was, oh, wow, there's no, you know, there's 400 channels now. There's not just 100. Now there's 4,500 channels. Now there's, you said, however you want to say it, how many MCNs are, you know, how many networks and streaming, you know, now there's maybe 4,000 or 5,000. There's so many different ways to consume content. It's just a real, real, that it goes back to my awareness situation that, you know, I've got 5 kids, and you know, I'm obviously on Twitter, and I'll get my plug in at Real Jeff Jarrett. But you know, I've got kids that they don't even go to Twitter; they're Instagram and Snapchat. So it goes back to awareness that if Global Force Wrestling was only on Twitter and Facebook, we're missing an enormous audience. So again, I'll go back to creating awareness is at the very top of Global Force Wrestling's list. That makes sense to you, Jason?
It does, and it, you know, you mentioned the various methods now that are options that people have to consume content. Could a pro wrestling company make it work with Netflix? If that, you know, if they didn't have traditional cable television, they had Netflix. Is that, do you think that's viable?
I don't want to say specifically Netflix because I just, yeah, I think that's pigeonholing. But yes, just the business has changed, and I live here in Music City. I live here in Nashville, and got many, many friends in that industry. And you know, they used to their entire model was writing maybe whatever 20 or 30 songs, but anyway, getting 10 to 12, 8 to 10 to 12, 14 with bonus tracks, and selling a CD. Those days are archaic. They're almost like black and white television because you went from that to, okay, now we're going to do iTunes. You're going to sell them a song at a time at 99 cents. Those days are gone. Now it's streaming. And so there's no, I don't want to say there's no money, but there's no big money in, you know, there's no big money in selling music. The money is touring and merchandise and different ways like that. It's no different than the wrestling business. The money's in touring. The money's in merchandise. The money's, you know, that's where getting out, growing the brand, spreading the brand. That's where it's at.
Where do things stand
so, to answer your question, yes, I do believe that streaming based. Streaming based internet, yes. The brands are doing it right now.
I'm curious where things stand as far as Global Force and pay per view, not necessarily for the Global Force product yet, obviously, but you did the successful New Japan Wrestle Kingdom 9 event, and there have been rumors of maybe a AAA show, maybe another New Japan show. Where do things stand? Are you looking to do more?
You know what? We've been approached by multiple companies, and my eyes really are focused. The Wrestle Kingdom 9 was a great event. A massive amount of work went into that. It was actually, and we got more numbers in over the last 60 days, more successful than we thought, so we're very excited. But I believe it was because you got to give maybe not all, but quite a bit of credit to just the timing of everything. Wrestle Kingdom 9, that promotion is red hot. Jim Ross, so I think it takes special events. You know, Pacquiao and Mayweather. It was a special event, and it's incredible numbers. So yes, that's on our plate. But I'm focused on the Grand Slam Tour, and that's, you know, all my energies are going toward that. But yes, we are in discussions with three different companies about bringing product, you know, to the North American audience via pay-per-view.
You mentioned JR, and you I thought a pretty cool signing in Chael Sonnen to be the color commentator. Are you hoping to pair those two once you start doing your television tapings?
Well, I would obviously would love to, but again, it goes back to the dominoes have to fall in place, and so you can't put your broadcast team completely together into exactly exactly direction you're headed. But I've got some things that I'll obviously keep close to the vest with distribution and the pairings and some talent and stuff like that. So, Jason, I can't tell you everything today.
Gotcha. Well, you and Eric Bischoff, I think it was an overseas appearance, you guys kind of made it seem like you might be working together. It kind of came across like it was already a done deal, but now it doesn't really sound like he's necessarily locked in. Is Bischoff or his company, BHE, involved at this point with Global Force Wrestling?
No, absolutely not. And you got to love the internet. And it was a Q&A session, and one thing led to another, and boy, did that thing catch wildfire. But no, they are not involved with Global Force Wrestling at this point.
But the door is open, it sounds like?
Well, I mean, I'm open. I'll listen to any deal. I'll listen to any deal. Not that they're, they're a television. What I don't think people truly understand about those guys is that Eric Bischoff obviously had an enormous run in WCW and then he spent 4 or 5 years for WWE. As he left there and went to TNA, he had BHE, Bischoff Irvy Entertainment, and they're in scripted, they're in reality. They're in the TV industry, not really in the wrestling business as a fan. They've got their plate full, and Jason Irvy lives here in Nashville, and we stay in contact. But those guys, they're more than knee deep in television, and they're coming out with a new project in the next couple of months that they, I won't go into detail, but they got some pretty cool TV projects in the works.
And just a couple more, and then I'll let you go here. Scott Hall was pulled from Global Force Dates. Was that due to a WWE issue or in response to some of his recent struggles?
I'll say no comment on that. Scott is a dear friend of mine, and I think Dallas Pace said it best. He had a bump in the road, and we put our heads together and said, we want to do what's best for Scott, because Scott Steiner stepped right in, and Jim Cornette in Kentucky, and so we won't and we'll have Scott a part of Global Force Wrestling when the time is right. The door is open. But you know what, to my knowledge, I don't think the WWE thing, I don't know even where that came from, ever came into play, but we want Scott to do what's best for Scott.
Makes total sense. And final question, Grand Slam Tour kicking off, Global Force Wrestling June 12th in Jackson, Tennessee, and then June 13th in Knoxville. Check globalforcewrestling.com for all of those dates. As I said, they're going all over the place, coming to a minor league ballpark near you. What can people expect from the Global Force Wrestling live experience? I mean, is it going to be pretty much a straightforward wrestling show? I mean, you don't have to spill the beans on everything, but what can people expect when they fork over their money to go see a Global Force Wrestling show?
The tremendous, when I say this, and it's really not the carnival barker and the promoter in me, it is the athlete in me. You're going to see a very competitive night of professional wrestling, but that's from bell to bell. Other than that, you're going to be able to have the VIP experience and get autographs, just what wrestling fans want to do and have always wanted to do. This is not recreating the wheel. They want to come out. They want to talk to their wrestlers. They want to get autographs from the wrestlers. They want to get pictures. And then they want to go get in their seat and get them a beer or a Coke or a popcorn or whatever it may be, and they want to sit back and they want to see really, really good professional wrestling. And that's what they're going to get, without question.
Well, Jeff, I wish you the best, and as always, I appreciate the time.
Appreciate it, Jason. Have a good day, and we'll talk soon. And maybe as we get closer to Vegas, we'll jump on the .net podcast again.
Sounds great, Jeff.
Thanks, Jason.